Title IX turns 30 on Sunday. The anti-discrimination law is best known for guaranteeing equal opportunity for female athletes in most of the nation's schools. Title IX has been dogged by three decades of controversy. Supporters have fought to make sure the law is enforced. Opponents have fought to scale it back. In between the extremes are the many girls and women whose lives have been influenced by Title IX. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
Decades before Title IX existed, Marcia Sainholz was a young girl with plenty of opportunities to play sports. She practically lived on the playgrounds of her Toledo, Ohio neighborhood, playing mostly with boys. But as a teenager in the late 1950s, she started to encounter the obstacles. Ohio high school girls didn't have interscholastic sports, so Marcia and her girlfriends played intramurals and cheered on the boys' teams.
We might have talked about we wished we could do that, but it wasn't. I mean, we just kind of accepted our lot, I guess you would say, and we weren't enlightened enough at that point in time.
Fast forward to the 1990s. Marcia Sainholz has a 6'2" daughter, Amy, playing varsity basketball for Washington State University. One day, Amy sees the men's team manager taking players' sweaty clothes back to the gym after practice. Amy and her teammates always had done that themselves. She complains, and the university agrees to offer the same service to the women.
The bottom line is that whatever they get, we get. And so if they have a manager who takes their laundry over, then so should we.
Some 40 years passed between Marcia accepting her lot and Amy demanding and getting equal treatment. Title IX was born during that time, in 1972, and if not completely responsible for the sea change, the law played a significant role. Not that Amy Sainholz really cared, as she lived the blissful life of a female jock in the post-Title IX era.
It wasn't important to me because, you know, I didn't experience the before. I didn't experience the lack of opportunities. And so for me, again, you know, at a young age, it was irrelevant to me.
It isn't now. Amy is 28 and thrilled to be an assistant women's college basketball coach at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California. On a recent morning, she tutored one of her players.
And immediately, if you're cutting to the ball, you receive, you don't feel anybody on your back, you know, face up and hit the jumper right away.
Just the fact that I'm living the life that I'm living, that I'm independent and successful and able to do something that I love and get paid for it is pretty much due to Title IX.
Indeed, while Title IX brought more female athletes to sport, it opened up coaching to people like Amy Sainholz and administrative jobs to people like her mother. Marcia earned a master's degree in sports administration after the law passed. Now, at the age of 60, she's the senior associate athletic director at Washington State. Marcia Sainholz has been a grateful supporter of Title IX. She says support is particularly important as the anniversary approaches.
I guess what's disappointing to myself and probably most women of my generation and older and a little younger is that we're still arguing about Title IX 30 years later. I mean, you would have thought that equal opportunity is a given.
Just this week, a pro-Title IX group accused 30 colleges and universities of failing to pay millions of scholarship dollars to female athletes, as required by Title IX. While advocates say some institutions aren't doing enough to comply with the law, others believe Title IX compliance has gone too far.
It's a perversion of what Congress intended.
Author Jessica Gavora gets Title IX supporters spitting mad with her controversial new book, Tilting the Playing Field. Gavora says the law was a moral triumph in the fight to stop discrimination against women, but she says Title IX has been implemented in a way that discriminates against men. More than 400 college men's sports teams have been cut, and Gavora says it's because schools mainly use a proportionality test to comply with Title IX, where the number of male and female athletes has to reflect the number of male and female students.
Most schools today are majority female, most colleges and universities, so they must have majority female athletic squads. And I think the important point here is that Title IX should reflect the interests of men and women, whatever they are. But today, because it is implemented with a formula, it ignores interests.
Gavora says more men than women are interested in sports, and it's reflected in the greater numbers of men who turn out for intramurals and who walk on to varsity teams without being recruited or given scholarships. Title IX supporters disagree and condemn Gavora's call to reform the law. Gavora, a policy advisor with the Justice Department, thinks the Bush administration may be sympathetic to her argument that Title IX implementation has become a discriminatory quota system. The disputes threaten to make this a less than happy birthday for Title IX on Sunday. Marsha and Amy Sainholt say they'll celebrate, but like many whose lives have been affected by the law, they say they're ready to cut the cake and prepare for battle. Tom Goldman, NPR News.